Well, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'm glad that you joined in today. Thank you. We're going to go back into our study of the letter X today and get started with some itemized items that are X-rated for Christians. And some of you, just to say to begin with, some of you might not agree with some of this stuff, but if you don't agree with it, you're going to disagree against what God's Word says. Now, there are some areas with some of these topics that we're going to talk about today that are not clear in the Word of God, but the Lord left them to where He figured that a mature Christian that was sincere could figure it out on his own what was right and wrong. There's a lot of things that God's Word does not say specifically, thou shall not whatever. But it does give us plenty of evidence in the Scriptures of what the Lord's mind is concerning what we're talking about. And you'll see what I'm talking about when we get into some of these topics today. We're not going to get in a hurry about it. We're going to just talk about it and see what God's Word says about it and go from there. Now, if you're sincere about it, and so some of these things are affecting you in your walk and in your life, then that's a good thing, because we'll be talking about God's Word and talking about God's mind. And whether you admit it or not, or anybody else admits it, every one of us have been affected one way or another with some of this stuff that we're going to talk about. We're sinners. And the Bible says that we are to practice getting away from sin and toward righteousness. And that's what we do as long as we're in the flesh. That's what we have to do all the way until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So let's get on into this. Thank you for joining us today. And let's just recap just a little bit. We began with our preparation talking about two different other studies concerning. One of them was separation and whether the Lord wants us to be separate from things, and the Bible does teach that. Now, I know the world doesn't teach that right now. It's going trying to put everybody into a one-world pot and make one big goo out of everybody, which is not scriptural whatsoever. But that's the way the world thinks. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about what saith the Lord. The Lord said there was, the Bible teaches us there's two different kinds of separation in the Bible. One of them, or for the Christian, one of them is positional separation, and that's your position in Christ that's already been taken care of, by the Lord, and God the Holy Ghost is doing His part in dwelling you until the Lord comes and we're taken out of here. Your position is in heaven. That's your positional. You are positionally a Christian. You are positionally saved, born again. You're no longer under God's wrath. You're under His fatherhood. And then we have practical separation. And that is separation that we have to practice while in the body. And a lot of people don't know this. They don't know that God's Word tells us that we need to practice, and that some people think that, well, once I'm saved and in God's family, if God wants me to stop something, He'll stop me. Well, that's not true at all. Some things are very hard to stop, and God the Holy Ghost, it takes God's power to stop them. And it takes God's power, and it takes a long time. I've been dealing with troubled men for a little over, going right about 15 years now. And there are some problems in the world that used not be in the world a long time ago. Well, at least in the manner that they are now, considering drugs and alcohol and all the filth that's in the world now, and the problems that are and the sin that's accepted in the world now and counted as past tense, really. But practical separation. There's some things that Christians just are going to have to bear down and practice for the Lord's sake and for His glory, and because we love Him, and that's what we want to do, not what we have to do. You don't have to do nothing. The Lord's not going to force you. I mean, He can force us, but He's not. He wants you to do something because you love Him. And we do love Him, don't we? So let's get on in some of this. We talked about practical separation and positional separation. And one other is that we have the victory. We talked about study number 22 a little bit concerning victory as a preliminary preparation for this study, that we know that the Bible teaches separation, and we know that the Bible teaches us that we have the victory already. But having the victory is positional. And having is as far as positional, and your position in the Lord, and you being in God's family is one thing, and having the victory in practical things, things that we have to practice while we're still in the body, is a whole other thing. There are a lot of Christians that are tied, that the devil has got tied down, and has them in his talons, has his talons in them, and is holding them down with some of these items and keeping them from being productive in God's family and bearing fruit. And you know it, and I know it, and it's just real. It's real. And the devil will offer you anything as long as you'll get away from that book. And you'll get away from having any kind of relationship with the Lord. He will. He'll offer you anything. Now, let's go ahead and begin. First thing, talking about Christians, and that's X-rated for Christians, is why Christians don't drink alcohol. You say, oh, me. Now, listen. The Bible does not say in the Scriptures, it does not say, you're not going to find it in there, thou shalt not drink alcohol. It does not say it. It's not in there. You can't find it. This is one of those things that we have to rightly divide the Word of God and take what the Scriptures say and find out what the mind of God is that God the Holy Ghost is trying to teach us concerning this subject. Now, what does the Bible say concerning drinking alcohol? What's it say? Do you know? Why don't you know? Do you drink? I don't know if you drink. I can tell you what's been in my life. Man, I used to be a drunk. My brother, I was such a bad drunk that I didn't drink because I liked drinking. I drank to get to the next one. I was a drinker, brother. And the Lord saved me out of that. I couldn't quit. I didn't want to quit. I didn't care. And I was born again and a child of God. Or am born again and a child of God. What I mean by was while that was going on in my life. I haven't drank for, and I'm not in remission, and I'm not, in remission. I'm not just what the world teaches concerning not drinking anymore. I'm following the Lord's power is what's keeping me from drinking. If I get away from the Lord, it wouldn't take but just a little bit long and one sip. The devil's tried to trick me into it since I've been serving the Lord and tried to trick me into it. I mean, trick me into it. And his power, he's powerful and he is deceitful. And he can trick even the best, even the most Christ-minded person into doing something. He can. He's powerful. And you have to be careful. The Lord says for us to walk, be sober and to walk soberly and to be careful lest we fall. We need to watch our steps and walk circumspectly and know what's going on. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can be tricked into anything by your own heart. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're to be studying our heart and knowing what our heart is lusting after, knowing what the condition of our heart is and what its affections are toward. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. There's all kind of avenues having to do with our walk down here in the body. And when it comes to drinking, the Bible does not say, thou shalt not drink. You want to drink? Drink. But if you want to know God's mind on it, here's what the Bible says. Now, drinking is a real problem in this country. Well, I suppose every country now. But drinking has become a real problem in this country. And you can tell by that during the Prohibition where the enemy was fighting that so much. Spiritually, you can tell where society wants to go as far as drinking. Hundreds of lives are lost. Thousands of thousands are the result of the liquor industry. You know, the doctors tell you all the time that stuff will kill you. And they print it on the side of the cigarette packs and on the side of the bottles. But then they turn around and put it on the shelf for you to see when you walk in the store to buy it. Explain that one. They don't care. If they, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And if I can get you to buy a bottle of liquor and get you to buy some beer or something to drink and get you to buy it, oh, yeah, they're real sad about how it ruins your life and takes your wife away from you and takes your daughter away from you and kills your son and wrecks the car and puts you in debt and takes everything away and causes you to fight all the time and just all the good things go along with it, you know. And they really care for you about that. They don't want to see them problems come in there, even though they know that stuff's going to do it to you. It changes you. It changes your thinking. It changes you. Excuse me. Now, drinking's a real problem in this country. You can't go anywhere without seeing a sign or an advertisement or something to try to tempt you into getting a beer or getting something to drink. Alcohol-wise. And yet, for all that, consuming alcohol is one of the most sociably acceptable and expected pastimes in this nation. Let's go get a drink. I remember I couldn't wait. I was so bad a drinker, my body knew when it was time to drink, and it would tell me, it'd break out in sweats and tell me it's time to drink. And I couldn't wait for that whistle to blow so I could get off work and head straight to the drive-thru and go in there and buy me a six-pack. And the six-pack wasn't to drink for the whole night. The six-pack was to drink so I could get back to normal, to stop the sweating, to stop all the things that my body was doing and my flesh was doing, was telling me it's out of alcohol, fill her up. And it would take me six beers, just slamming them, just to get back to normal where I felt normal. And then I'd start drinking. Terrible time in my life. Now, I don't know where you are, but if this is one of the things that the devil's got you bound up in, you need to do something about it. You need to ask God to get you out of it. And he will. He did it for me. He did it for me. And the Lord is willing that that happen. He wants that to happen. And if you're sincere about it, God will help you. He will help you. But that's one of the things that you don't need to think that people care for you when it comes to drinking and care for you when it comes to alcohol and everything else. They're selling it all over the place in this nation, and they'll sell you every bit you want to buy and every bit that you can afford. Whether you like it or not, and whether you should or not, they'll sell it to you. And if you drink it, that's your fault. And if it kills you and causes all the problems in your life, that's your fault. You shouldn't have bought it. Well, it's for sale. Well, that's besides the point. You didn't have to buy it. You know how they think. Come on, let's get right about this. Let's get real about it. The Bible has much to say concerning liquor. And it's very clear in its teaching on the subject. It just doesn't say, thou shalt not drink. But it is clear on what God's mind is concerning alcohol. And God's not trying to be stingy. God said he wouldn't withhold anything that was good for us. God wants us to have all the good things. Well, is alcohol a good thing? Is it? I think of all the times and all the money and all the stuff that I had to do with alcohol, and I can't think of one thing, not one thing. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking and examining my heart, and I can't think of one thing that drink done good for me. I really can't. Now, before studying the scriptures, let's keep in mind the fact that the word wine in the Bible, you say, well, it says wine. Yes, it does. It also says new wine. New wine. Okay? When the Bible's talking about wine, it's not always talking about something alcohol. The Bible uses the word wine, talking about the fruit of the vine. In the Bible, it's a generic word, which it applies to all products derived from grapes, both natural grape juice and man-made alcoholic wine. The contents of the passage determines what's meant in each case. What's the context talking about? But when it comes to the effect of alcohol in wine or in any kind of drink, the Bible talks about the drink. It talks about, mostly talks about the effects of the drink and what it does to you, and it gives warning about it. And have you ever drank any grape? Let's just talk about this. Have you ever drank any grape juice that has affected you the way that liquor does or beer does? No, you haven't. So the Bible's not talking about wine or the fruit of the vine when it's talking about the effects of this drink. Strong drink is what it's called. So knowing that, let's get on into some scripture and find out what God's mind is on this. Why Christians don't drink alcohol? It's surely not because the Bible commands us not to, because it doesn't. But it does give us common sense factors in the Word of God and in the Scriptures that would teach us naturally, unless you're trying to deceive yourself, but if you're thinking and you're seeking the truth, the Scriptures do teach that it's not a good thing. Let's look at them. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink. You see how it's talking about strong drink there? It's talking about wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, there's a whole bunch of negativity for your drink. I mean, if you're going to drink, drink. Do whatever you're going to do whatever you want to do. But if you're sincerely wanting to know God's mind about this thing, and if you are drinking and you want to know God's mind about it and get some help and know what God says about it, and you want to follow God's advice and do what God says, God will bless you and help you with that. He will. He did it for me. Wine is a mocker. You know it does. It'll mock you every time. Every time you drink. Now listen, I know what I'm talking about. It'll mock you. It'll laugh in your face. It'll mock you, and strong drink is raging. It'll make you go out of control. It'll make you rage. Don't you know that? So there's some evidence of what God thinks concerning the strong drink, and he can't be talking about grape juice, because grape juice ain't never mocked me. And it surely ain't never made me rage. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about that drink that gets you out of control and makes you and mocks you and laughs in your face every time you drink it. And the kind that makes you rage, makes you go nuts, crazy. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Have you ever been deceived drinking grape juice? Wine, the fruit of the vine? No, you haven't. But have you ever been deceived drinking wine that mocks you and wine that rages? Yes, you have. He said, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And he's talking about drinking these things. So what the Bible's teaching us is that wine, whenever we drink the strong drink and we drink the wine, we're deceiving. We're deceived. We're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. And if you tell the truth, we do talk ourselves into drinking some more, don't we? I remember I drank so much and get up and be so sick and everything else and look for a drink so it can stop me from feeling bad from the night before's drink. Yeah. It just laughs at you and puts you in a rage, makes you do things and think things and act ways that you wouldn't act. And the Lord says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So, what does that make? What does the Bible say concerning Proverbs 20, verse 1? Wine is what? Wine is a deceiver. It's a deceiver. It's something that we deceive ourselves with. That's not all. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20 and 21, listen to what God tells us some more about this strange drink. He didn't say, thou shalt not drink, but listen to what he says. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. That goes along with drinking, don't it? For the drunkard off of grape juice? No. This is a different kind of wine. The strong drink kind of wine. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And that's something. That scripture right there sure knows something about drinking, don't it? Any of y'all that's ever had a drink and the devil has used that drink against you and got your flesh dependent on that drink, it's telling the truth, ain't it? Drunkenness does lead to what? It leads to poverty. It'll take everything you got from you. You ask some of them old drunks. You ask me. I've lost everything I've owned 3 different times. And alcohol was involved in it every time. It wasn't just alcohol, but it was alcohol. And it did lead to poverty. It'll take everything you got away from you. So what's God saying about drinking there? Is he for it? I mean, we're not trying to, we're just seeing what the Bible says. The Lord said, be not among winebibbers. What's that? Somebody that drinks wine all the time. The Lord tells us not to be around people. Well, there's some prejudice stuff there the Bible's teaching, not to go around people that drink all the time among riotous eaters of flesh. That's usually what goes along. People that drink a lot and make a lot of noise, riotous and have cookouts and barbecues and go down to river and whatever else goes along with drinking. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. It didn't say you might. It said you shall come to poverty. It'll take it from you. That drink will take everything you got. It'll make you a bum. And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. It'll even take away your ambitions to have things and your ambitions to work for things. It'll make a lazy person out of you and a sorry person out of you and make you just do good for nothing. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And that's not all. Wine is a deceiver, and drunkenness leads to poverty. What else does the Bible say about this drink? For the Christian. Now remember, we're talking about X-rated for the Christian. We're not talking about the world. The world's going to do what the world wants to do. And phooey on God. Get out of our face, God. We don't want nothing to do with you. We don't want to listen to what you have to say. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about if you say that you walk with the Lord and you're sincere about being in a relationship with your Heavenly Father and you want to do the things that are pleasing in God's sight, we're talking about that. And we're talking about having to do with the drink right now. Why Christians don't drink alcohol. You want to drink? Drink. But these things are going to happen to you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11, listen to this. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine, what, the fruit of the vine, you talking about grape juice, inflame them. Boy, that Bible knows something about a drunk, don't it? It knows something about somebody that drinks. It says, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow drink. Start drinking in the morning. You ever been that way? You'll get that way if you keep drinking. That drink will make you, it'll get up in the morning. You'll get up in the morning. First thing your flesh will want is a drink. I need a drink and I need it right now. Remember what I told you about me waiting for the whistle so I could run down there so I could get the drink and get back normal? Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, drink all day long into the night, till wine inflame them. What's the Bible telling us about the drink there, Christian? Is the Bible telling us that God's mind is, well, it's not so bad. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with having a social drink. And you know, anybody that has social drinks and goes on home, they might be the exception to the rules, though. The exceptions to the rules. There ain't no way I'd go have one drink. And anybody that knows anything about drinking, that's kind of silly. You have to giggle about that because go have one drink? What? Why? Why? Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink that continue until night, till wine inflame them. So what's the Bible teach us there concerning God's mind on drinking? Well, the Bible pronounces woe upon drunks. And I don't think it's saying so much like you need to stop. Woe, even though that does fit. I think it's talking about you're going to be sorry. This is going to bring you some woe. The Bible pronounces woe upon drink, upon drunks, upon the drink, upon the strong drink, and upon those that are taken prisoner by the enemy with this stuff. Why Christians should not and don't drink alcohol. Genesis chapter 9, that's not all. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 9, remember Noah? Chapter 9, verse 20 through 23, and Noah began to be a husbandman. He started growing his own stuff, growing the vines and the fruit of the vine. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. So he didn't just squeeze grape juice out of it. He kind of concocted it in a way to where it could get you drunk. Because the Bible says, and was drunken. You don't get drunk off regular old grape juice. You got to make it that way. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, you're talking about woe. And that little old deal right there. And Noah got drunk and was laying in his tent naked. And his youngest son, Ham, went in there. And if you read some more in the Bible, you'll find out that he didn't just see him and go out and tell his brothers about it. There was something that went on between him and his daddy. And his daddy didn't know nothing about it. And that one action right there has followed Ham all down through history, even to right now. And that alcohol was involved in, Ham wouldn't have been able to do that if his daddy hadn't been drinking and passed out, because he'd have woke up. You see, you say, Brother TV, no. Yeah. Yeah, it's there. It's there. Habakkuk 2:15 says, "Woe unto them that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on his nakedness." So, according to the Bible, this drink that we're talking about, that Christians get in such a fist fight about and think that God approves of this stuff, the Bible's not said anything good yet. It says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink." Well, what's wrong with giving your neighbor a drink? Well, it's a certain kind of drink you better not give to him. But you're not only giving it to him, you're giving it to him for a reason. "That puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drink, maketh him drunken also." Oh, go ahead, have another one. Go ahead. But what's on the back of your mind? "That thou mayest look on their nakedness." You got a plan. Wait a minute. We're talking about drink. We're not talking about looking on people's nakedness, and we're not talking about all that kind of stuff. We're talking about drink. Does the Bible declare that drink is good? And we're not. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not drink. It doesn't say it nowhere. But according to the scriptures that we've been reading concerning strong drink and concerning the things of this kind of wine, what's the Bible telling us? What's God's word? What's God's mind? You know, God might have thought, maybe I just don't have to put that into thou shalt not, because maybe they'll be smart enough to know after I tell them all this stuff that that stuff will kill you. It'll mess you up. It'll give you woe. It'll lead you to poverty. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 20 and verse through 23, what we just read, it says that drinking brings nakedness and shame. And it does. The Bible says you're not supposed to uncover your body. You know why? Now, this is for all you women that think you need to show, get down in breast, get your cuts down in your cleavage and your short dresses and measure above your knees, searching them out and blabbity, blabbity, blab. And all you guys that think you're walking around with your shirt unbuttoned and pooching that one hair you got on your chest out, all this kind of stuff, see. The Bible says that nakedness is a shame. And if we study in nakedness, you would see that. The Bible does not say thou shalt not be naked, but it does give us evidence of what God's mind is on it. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus is going to come, and he's going to change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. So according to the Bible, the reason that you're supposed to cover your body up is because it's shamefully vile. It's a vile thing in God's eyes. That's why he's putting it back in the dirt. That's why we're getting a new one. And you know, man is so stupid that he uncovers it and flaunts it around like it's something to be seen or something to be looked at. And the only reason you'd want to look at somebody else's body uncovered is because of lust, and lust is of the flesh. There's nothing spiritual about a human body. It's vile in God's eyes. Nakedness and shame, the Bible says, this drink has to do with. Why Christians don't drink alcohol? That's not all. Habakkuk there says, God hates us even giving our neighbor a drink. Don't you dare. Well, that's one thing about the drink in society now is let's go get a drink together. And that's the whole reason for dressing up and putting on your makeup and blabbity, blabbity, blab, so you can go drink with somebody else. See what comes out of it. That's not all. Proverbs chapter 31, listen, we're just talking about what the Bible says concerning this matter of drink. Not what we think. I haven't told you what I think about it. I've told you what it's done to me. And told you that it took God's power to get me out of it. I remember one time I was drinking so bad that my daddy called me on telephone. and he was talking to me, and he said, "Son, I know that you're a man of your word, and that if I ask you something, that you'd follow through with it. So I'm asking you, I want you to get on the wagon when it comes to that drink. I want you to stop drinking." And I said, "I can't." I said, "I ain't telling you that I'm going to get on the wagon. I'm not going to tell you that." I said, "Because I can't." And I was telling the truth. I couldn't. I couldn't do it. My body, my flesh had been got so far down into it and got so much of it that my flesh wasn't going to let me. Yeah. Now, something that can be that powerful to do that to a human being, is that a good thing? Is that from God? Is that what God says? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. A person says, "God gave me this drink," has got to be a liar. Because the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4, listen to what it says, verse 4 and 5, by the way. It says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel," talking about Solomon. This is his mama giving him advice. "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted." According to God's law, and according to what the Lord said concerning the kings that were going to be in charge of the people to judge between the people what was right and wrong, they weren't supposed to drink. Why? Because it perverts your judgment. It messes up what you think about right and wrong and what decisions you'll make about right and wrong. It'll make you do things that you normally wouldn't do, and it'll make you not do things that you normally would. It perverts your judgment. It messes your judgment up. And the kings ain't supposed to do it. So if God says, King Solomon, God gave him more wisdom he give anybody and is going to ever give anybody. But if you read King Solomon's writings, you'll find out that the truths he comes up with in the scriptures, in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs and a Song of Solomon, what he writes in those is truth, but it's all negative. But his mama told him, "Don't drink. You'll mess up judgment. You'll mess around and won't judge between the afflicted properly." So according to the Bible, liquor and strong drink perverts what? It perverts judgment. You won't make the right choices. Is that true? Any of y'all listen to this and knows anything about drinking? Is that true that strong drink will pervert your judgment? You better believe it is. It's absolutely true. Some of us drank so that we could pervert our judgment, didn't we? That's not all. Proverbs 31, verse 4 and 5 refers to the practice of drinking to drown your sorrows. And that's probably about 90% of us, isn't it? If not more. Let's see here. Drinking to drown your sorrows. Doesn't that strong drink help whenever you don't want to think or be depressed or feel sorrowful about things and stuff like that? Kind of just brings you out of it, doesn't it? But drink never removes the sorrows. It'll drown them for a little bit, but they come back, don't they? Every single time, and sometimes compounds them. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 and 30, listen to this. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without a cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. It's true, isn't it? Now, we're talking about why Christians don't drink. Not that the Bible says, thou shalt not drink, point your finger in somebody's face and say, you ain't supposed to be drinking. That's not what the Bible says, and it never does that. But it gives us a lot of evidence of what drinking and the strong drink and the mixed drink and the mixed wine and all that stuff, that kind of drink does. And God figures, if you're a Christian and you're sincere and you mean business, whether you're affected by it now or whether you have been, by God's grace, taken out of it or you're considering it, it does give us truths. That's not all. Isaiah chapter 5, listen to this. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12 and 14, the Bible says, and the harp, that's a musical instrument, and the viol, same, and tabret, and wine, and pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord. Interesting. They don't care about what God says or the work of the Lord when the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are mixed together in their feast. Neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and openeth her mouth without measure, and the glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Now that's a scary verse right there. It ain't talking about whether you drink or whether you don't drink. It's talking about everybody that has to do with music and wine mixed with it in their feast and don't care or regard the work of the Lord or consider the operation of his hands. Says there's something waiting on you. Now, of course, we're talking about in the Old Testament, which is still valid and still just as valid in God's eyes as anything else, but that Jesus Christ has come now. And we're in a dispensation that if you're born again, that you're always born again. And you're not going to lose your salvation under any condition. But if you're unsaved or not saved, the Lord's giving you warning right here that hell hath enlarged herself. He's talking about people that mock God and listen to this music and the wine and their feasts and everything else and tell God, get out of my face. It says that hell hath enlarged herself and openeth her mouth without measure. And all your glory and your multitude, all of you together, yeah, you know, we all stick together. And the multitude is not always right. The multitude and their pomp, that goes along with that drinking too, doesn't it? Get all proud and poot your chest out and blabbity, 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 blab. And he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Wait a minute, we're talking about people that have feasts and rejoice and are glad and everything else, and they going to descend into it? What's that teaching us? It's teaching us that drink is a sure path to hell. Now, God's not going to put you in hell for drinking. He's going to put you in hell because drink had to do with your denial of God's business, of the work of the Lord, and considering the operation of his hand, which is what? In the New Testament is the gospel of the grace of God, Jesus Christ, and what he done for you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel of the grace of God, being born again. Saved by grace through faith. And then how many people you think's walking about that you bump shoulders with and pass hundreds and thousands and ten thousands, hundreds of thousands passing in your lifetime that could care less about God and never consider anything about him? And what? Jesus Christ. What? Jesus Christ was an idiot. You all hear what John Lennon said about Jesus Christ. Said he was some kind of little Jewish pantyweight sissy or something like that. I got it written down somewhere, but boy, he really... hey, John, how's it going, John? Hey, John, what was it you said about Jesus? Openeth her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. You know, out of all that verse right there, the Lord included that wine, that kind of wine, that kind of drinking. And I don't like that. I don't like nothing about that verse, the kind of music that goes along with the wine. You know what? There's truth to that. Music is powerful like that, and we're going to get into some of that here, too. But music is powerful. I pick my music. If I wanted to be sad, I'd pick sad music. If I wanted to be glad, if I wanted to be proud, I'd pick proud music. If I wanted to be head-banging music, I'd pick up some head-banging music. Yeah. And there's music that goes with the wine that'll make you pump, and that'll make you turn your shoulder and your heels up to God. And the Bible says that hell's enlarged herself with them kind of folks unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that to the Lord and you're one of his sons, watch out, because the Lord carries a big strap. And he says everybody gets a piece of it, especially you turn your back to somebody that his son died for you. Drink is a sure path to hell. And if you know any drunks, including yourself, you know that that's true. Isaiah 28:7, the Bible says, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet had erred. That's talking about priests and prophets that erred. People that handle God's word. The priest and the prophet had erred through strong drink. They're swallowed up of wine. They're out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Man, that must be some kind of drink. You remember them two sons of that priest that went and offered strange fire on God's altar? Moses' nephews. Aaron's sons. He had four sons, and two of them got to drinking and went and took some fire and went in there and tried to put it on God's, put it where God's fire was supposed to be. And God burned them to death right there. Charcoaled them right there. Burn them to death. And Moses told Aaron, don't you get mad. Don't you say anything to God about that. Get them and take them and bury them. Let's keep on going. That was because of drink. Because of something they was drinking. It wasn't Kool-Aid. And it wasn't the fruit of the vine. Welch's grape juice. It was strong drink. And it caused their judgment to be stupid. And they disregarded disregarded the Lord and his work and what he said and the operation of his hands. And they disregarded it, and they went, and they done what they wanted to do, and they got barbecued for it. God burned them to death. Said a fire went out from the Lord and consumed and burned them to death. That's not all. Mark says in chapter 15 and verse 23, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. The Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it. This was not regular grape juice. It was something that had something in it as he was being crucified, there was something in that drink that was going to dull his senses or his faculties, kind of help him out with his pain and stupefying. And the Lord wouldn't take it. That says one thing about a drink like that, doesn't it? that the Lord wouldn't take it in the most painful time in his entire life and the most tragic time that ever happened to an innocent man. And while he was dying for our sins, he wouldn't take a drink that would help him out and numb his pain. That ought to say something to us, shouldn't it, Christian? It should. It does to me. But I don't trust my flesh, and you shouldn't either. My flesh always tries to go against everything spiritual that I want to do when it comes to drink. There's sometimes even I ain't had a drink. I can't even remember. It's been a while. The Lord's been kind to me. But there's sometimes I'm sitting around and my flesh will just stand right up and I have to step on his neck because it's so strong. Don't you think you're no different either? Lest we fall. The Bible says in Leviticus, in chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be for a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between the holy and the unholy, and between the clean or unclean and the clean." That's interesting that the Lord's talking about drinking. He's telling them, the priests, Nadab and Abihu, and the rest of them that were priests, he gave them a condition of being a priest, that they not drink strong wine, neither his sons. Talking to Aaron, I think. When you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. Well, what? God going to kill them for drinking? It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation. God says, and the rules don't change through your generations. Nobody drinks and comes into my tabernacle. And they you put and why? So that they can have judgment to put the right difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. So, according to God, that drink changes what you think is holy and unholy and what you think is clean and unclean. And the world is busy about that today, isn't it? You take your hands and hold them up and then intertwine your fingers like that. That's what the world's doing right now, coming together. And they're bringing all this unclean and clean in there and making everything relative. That there's no difference between unclean and clean and holy and unholy. God said, don't do it. And he said that drink and strong drink will make you do that. You know, the temptation for the Christians to drink socially. Well, the only reason I'm drinking is just to be social, you know, and just sit around and talk and all this, that, and the other. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Maybe you are. But God said don't do it, because it'll make you, not everybody you're drinking with, it'll make you not be able to tell the difference between clean and unclean and holy and unholy. And, you know, every drunkard begins with just what? One drink. It kind of tickles me that people talk about that they just going to drink one. It tickles me right now. And the reason it tickles me is because it's untrue. There's no such thing as one drink. I drank one so I could get to the bottom of it, so I could get to the next one. I didn't drink one because I liked it. I drank because I wanted to get to the next one. I drank one so I could get to the next one, so I could get to the next one, so I could get to the next one. And so does everybody else. You say, well, I can just drink one. Well, are you exception to the rule then? First, the man takes the drink. Then drink takes the man. Nadab and Abihu, I just got through telling you about them. God told them not to drink. And don't come into my tabernacle. But they did. And they offered strange fire. And they got burnt to death for it. Liquor's deceiving. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now keep in mind that alcoholic beverage is a man-made product. Nowhere in the Bible do you hear God ever authorizing anything that's alcoholic as far as manufacturing it. There are people in the Bible, all through the Bible, that make strong drink, yes. And the Bible does talk about giving somebody strong drink. But it also has a condition to that. The only time God ever authorized anything having to do with strong drink, having to do with him having any kind of favor with it, is somebody's fixing to die. Are you dying? It's kind of like the Lord saying, okay, give him some pain medicine. Yeah. But any other kind of alcohol made product is man made. It goes through a process of fermentation, and it requires special conditions and human intervention. The stuff don't make itself. It's manufactured. The exact proportions of sugar and yeast and water's got to be present, and the temperature range got to be between 10 degrees and 22 degrees Celsius, or 50 to 72 Fahrenheit, just perfect, you know. And it's got to be maintained, and only vinegar, and otherwise you're just going to produce vinegar. Many try to argue for drink by citing the first miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he turned water into wine. But Oriental weddings, they were religious occasions, not festive occasions. And God never contradicts his word. If God says all of this that we've been talking about so far concerning drinking, and Jesus wouldn't even take a drink on the cross, and all of this other in the Old Testament, the New Testament, God burning the priest for disobeying them, even if they was drunk. And he told them not to come in there drunk and drinking. And it changes judgment, and it causes woe, and it causes nakedness and shame and all of this that we're studying. That God says, nowhere since we've been talking for almost an hour now and studying for an hour God's word and what it says about drinking, nowhere has he said, thou shalt not drink. Nowhere. But if we be honest and we be Christian about it, and we be sincere about it, and really searching God's mind about it in the Word of God, what is God's mind concerning it? That it's dangerous. That there's no good in it. Have we said anything good about it yet? Has God said anything good about it yet? Not yet. They say that the Lord turned water into wine, but Oriental weddings were religious occasions, not festive. And God never contradicts his word. He's not going to tell us all of these things. 99% of anybody that drinks hard liquor and wine and mixed drink, mixed wine and strong drink and all that, that they're going to get woe and they're going to die and they're going to make bad judgment and they're going to take their clothes off and all this kind of stuff. And then turn around and say, well, Jesus made some. Because Jesus didn't make any that was going to mess up anybody like what we've been talking about, what the scriptures say. Jesus is God. And Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. There's no way in the world that Jesus Christ would have contradicted the scriptures by making something that would make people behave and make judgments like what his word has just got through teaching us. The wine was grape juice. Does the Son of God approve of alcohol? If he does, how come? His word says it mocks. It'll laugh in your face and mock you. So there we go. That's about all we have to say about it. We studied a lot of scripture so far about this, or today about this, and this one particular item concerning X-rated for Christian. Well, let me ask you something. Is alcohol X-rated for Christian? I would have to vote yeah. Through personal experience, through understanding God's word, through this individual study right here where we have honestly pursued God's word about it and studied what he has to say about it and made reasonable thoughts and reasonable discussion about it and put it in context and rightly divided the scriptures. God's not for anybody drinking something like that. Now, if you're drinking and you're having a problem with it, get you some help from your pastor. Get you some help and get away from that drink. And get some people starting to pray for you that the Lord would release you from that and deliver you from it forever. And if you're not drinking and the Lord has saved you from that, don't ever, ever, ever pick it up again or even consider it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And he will if you resist him and submit to the Lord. But the devil don't care about none of you. He'll kill you with drink if he can. There ain't nothing happened good for anybody when it comes to drink, strong drink. All it is something that the devil's put into society to get their judgment messed up so they'll listen to him instead of and they'll turn their back on God. And every time that any of us has had anything or any kind of relationship with this drink, that's exactly what happened, hadn't it? Whenever I was drinking, I never all of a sudden stood up and said, "Well, it's time for church." Have you? Of course not. Okay, well, so why Christians don't drink alcohol? We see why, don't we? We see why. Amen. And this is in no way condemning you as a Christian. Christian, if you're drinking, you got to find a way to stop. You got to get out of it and get the devil's talons out of you having to do with that drink. And if you need some help, get you some help from some Christians that understand spiritual things and get you some help however you can and get it now. Because the only thing that's going to do is mess everything. It gets worse and worse and worse. And God's already made it clear for us. And it's just too easy in the world. And the only way you're going to quit it is to quit it on purpose. You're not going to accidentally stop drinking. It ain't going to happen. Well, praise the Lord. So we found out a little bit of truth about this X-rated business, why Christians don't drink alcohol. All right? So, and if you've never touched it, don't ever touch it. After everything you've heard God say about it, why would you? Why would you? Okay, next time we're going to talk about why Christians don't gamble. Don't gamble. Maybe I shouldn't have said that until we got into that. You better be here. All right, all of you join with us next time, and let me give you these scriptures right quick if you want them. I'm sure you do. Here we go. You ready? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20 through 23. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 and 5. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 7. Mark chapter 15, verse 23. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And then again, the same verse, Proverbs chapter 21, what we began with and what we ended with. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So there we go. That's a good study today, isn't it? Condemn thee not, brother. I condemn thee not, sister. The Lord's accepted you into the body of Christ. You've been born again. Walk like children of light, the Bible says. Amen? And that's what we want to do, is encourage each other to walk like children of light. And if this drink has gotten you to a place where it's just too much and you can't do it yourself, get some help and get out of that mess. And get some people praying to ask God to help you out of it. Prayer is real. Talking to God is real. Your God is real. He will listen if you're sincere. God knows how hard it is to get away from that mess. He got me out. I couldn't get out. And I ain't no more special than you. God loves you just as much. And He'll help you. He will. Amen. I love you all with Christ's love. So, y'all join in on the next one. Let's keep studying. Let's keep finding out what God says about things. Why Christians don't gamble. Amen. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.